You guys remember the, how many of you were alive in 1969? Just show of hands. Okay, so a couple of you. That's good. And the majority of the rest of you probably remember the animated movie that came out in 1969, Frosty the Snowman, right? If you don't remember it, just turn the TV on for about 10, 15 minutes, flip through the channels, and it's going to be on any one of countless channels. It played this past Friday. I actually watched it online this last Tuesday. If you have never seen it, go ahead and watch it. And if you don't want me to spoil the end, just close your ears. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you the story. It starts with a narrator narrating, and he's telling the story of the kids who come running out of school very excited because the first snow is falling, and it's the Christmas snow, the snow right before Christmas Day, and there's something magical about it. It's fun. It's fantastic. And as a group, the kids that came running out of the school, they build this snowman, and then they talk a little bit about what they should name this snowman, and eventually Frosty. The name Frosty is settled on, and this wind blows a little bit, and this magician's hat, the magician's not a nice guy, but this magician's hat comes and blows and lands on top of Frosty, and poof, he comes to life, right? It's great fun. Yeah, somebody knows it right back there, right underneath Eric's chin. She's smiling. Okay, so they're enjoying Frosty, this come-to-life snowman, and oh, wouldn't you know it, the worst happens, and you see the thermometer start to rise and the temperature rising. Frosty knows what that means. He knows his time there is not long, but the kids weren't satisfied with that. They knew that, well, let's figure out how to keep Frosty around, so they wanted to take him to a much colder place. And if you know the movie better than I, was it the North Pole they were trying to take him? I forget. I just know that they cracked this plan, and Karen, one of the students, decided to go on this quest to make sure that Frosty lands in a place where he could stay alive a lot longer. So they get on this train, in a refrigerated train car, and they start going towards this colder place where Frosty's going to live, and it didn't take long for little Karen, who's not a snowman, to start getting the sniffles, and she starts catching a cold in the refrigerated snow, in the refrigerated train car. So they realize they have to stop. They build a fire in the woods. Frosty stays away, and Karen starts feeling better. And all along this time, the magician, the not nice magician, is following them. And Frosty and Karen end up in this greenhouse full of, anybody remember? Poinsettias, right, well done. And yeah, the Frosty's taking care of little Karen because she's starting to warm up, but the magician shuts the door, locks them in, and inside a nice warm poinsettia greenhouse, what happens? Frosty melts. Tears, right? RJ, it's okay to cry. I know. It's deep. It's loss. And, you know, it's sad, but as is so often the case with these good quality 1969 movies, Santa shows up, and Karen's telling him about the problem, and Santa assures her, wait, Frosty's made of this magical Christmas snow, which means every year he's going to be able to come back and get built by this, and, oh, well, the wind blows, and the door opens, and Frosty, I don't want to call him resurrected or something, but he gets Frosty again, and it's happy, and Frosty and Karen and Santa, they all catch a ride in Santa's sleigh, and they take Karen back to her house, and they land on her house. She gets out, hugs Frosty, goes down, and Frosty and Santa fly off, and it sure seems like the end of the movie. And I thought it was the end, but as I watched it, I'm like, there's something missing. Like, I remembered watching it when I was younger, and there was a line that wasn't there yet. Excuse me. It was a line that I think typifies the driving force, the theme for the entire movie, hope. A hope for a return, specifically Frosty's return. So I'm watching the credits, and wouldn't you know it, just like the movies today where you see the movie and the credits roll, but you have to stick around to the end because there's another part of the movie, that happens again in Frosty. Like, what is that, 50 years ago? Yeah, so watch the end of, after the first set of credits, watch what happens.
Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way.
But he waved goodbye, saying, don't you cry.
I'll be back on Christmas Day.
I'll be back on Christmas Day. You know what that is? That's hope. For those kids that are watching Frosty fly away, there's hope that he is going to come back. It's the hope of return. Shouldn't that be what drives us during the Advent season? The hope of return? Let's pray, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. Father, thank you that we get to learn truths, even from animated movies. I pray that we would do justice to what Randy has already talked about, this hope of a Christ coming back. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you know, if you've been here at all the last 4 weeks, we're in the middle of a sermon series titled Holiday Classics. And in this series, we're taking classic holiday movies and seeing the themes that rise to the top and speaking God's word into those themes. Today, we do the same thing, but we kind of take an angle towards Advent, towards the celebration of the coming of Christ. And we're talking about hope. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about peace, we're going to talk about joy, we're going to talk about love, and then on Christmas Eve, catch this, we're going to have an outdoor service. Everybody go, ooh. Everybody go, ah. Now, don't come and ask me, don't you realize it's going to be cold? I know it's going to be cold. Okay, that's why we're going to have fire pits, we're going to have candlelight, there's only going to be a few songs, and Randy's going to tell a short story about one of the Christmas songs, so I know all of your objections. I don't want to hear them again. Fair enough, we got that out of the way. Let's talk about hope. In the story we know, in the story that Randy actually did a great job telling, which we didn't plan this together, the Jews had been longing, they'd been hoping for many, many, many generations, right? Because they needed to be delivered over and over and over again. And at one point, God said, hey, let me tell you the name of this deliverer. And it's the same verse that Randy used earlier, Isaiah 7, verse 14. All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin, the young woman will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, from that prophecy, 800 years before Christ, there was 800 years of longing, 800 years of hoping for this Christ, this Emmanuel to come. Man, in their day, we have hindsight, right? But in their day, were there whispers of, I heard it's finally here. Do you know? I mean, just the anticipation, the quickening of the pulse that would have happened to any Jewish man or woman or girl or boy, theirs was a hope that we may not fully understand, and yet theirs was a hope that we can come close to understanding. We can get glimpses. We do feel some of that same hope for Jesus' return, for his arrival again. Now, I've been pondering that this last week. And I guess similar to last week, I'm not going to do a three-point sermon, but this is more of like a ponderings with the pastor type of discussion. All right, but I knew that today's movie was going to be Frosty, and I knew somewhere in that Frosty, that in the movie, he had that line, I'll be back again. And it gave the kids great comfort, great hope for the coming year, the promise of his return. Now, as I thought of that, I found myself asking, do I have that same hope for Jesus' return? Now, I know during this Advent season, we celebrate the first coming. And sure, we should think about that second coming, but do I have that hope, right? That true hope. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, in the second to last verse in our scriptures says this, he who is faithful, the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And in my Bible, the words, yes, I am coming soon, are in red. And then after that, the author proclaims, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Do I have that mentality? Do I have that hope? Do I long for it? Do I long for it to happen soon? Well, some yeses. But do I want to see my kids grow up? Do I want to go on that dream vacation again? Do I question whether or not I want to spend eternity floating on clouds, playing a harp, singing directly from a hymnal? Wink, wink. If I don't hope that it happens soon, am I a bad Christian? Am I a bad pastor? Do I truly believe that Jesus is coming back? Right? Am I hoping for that? Do I have the hope of return? This was promised. Many people promised that Jesus would come back, starting with himself. He said this in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come. I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." Jesus said he will come back. Now, after he was crucified, resurrected, spent many days hanging out with his disciples and many others, when it was time for him to return to heaven, we see this in Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. It says, "As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go.'" Okay, so Jesus said it. Several angels said it. The Apostle Paul talked about it too when he was talking to the church in Thessalonica, who was having people pass away. And people they believed that Jesus was going to come back before people started dying. So Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18 and following. He says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring him back, and with him the believers who have died." When he returns, this is a text that we commonly read at graveside services. Why don't we read this text more during Christmas time? I mean, it points to the coming again of Jesus. Shouldn't we be hoping for this? John, the author of the book of Revelation, said in the first chapter, he said that Jesus is going to come back in the clouds of heaven and everyone will see him, even those who have pierced him. John finishes this letter letting Jesus himself talk. In Revelation 22, verse 7, the first half, Jesus says, "Look, I am coming soon." And again in verse 20, which you've already heard me read, "He who is faithful, a faithful witness to all these things, says, 'Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.'" It's pretty clear that the scriptures that we read point to a return of Christ. Do I believe these scriptures? Yes. So do I hope that that return happens soon? I don't know. I mean, some people do. I heard at least one or two. Yes, 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 yes. Some people I know, this is their daily prayer. "Would you please come back today, Jesus? If not today, tomorrow. And if you don't today or tomorrow, would you just come and get me?" Some of you are like, "That's my daily prayer." 9:13 this morning, I went back to prayer with the worship team, and I said, "Man, I hope Jesus comes by 9:15 today." It was one of those mornings. All right? But if I'm honest with you, those emotions in me only happen sometimes. There are other times, days, weeks, months, where I forget about Jesus' promise to return. Or maybe I hope that he doesn't return quite so soon. Pastor's cabinet, if you need to fire me for saying this from the front, please do so after the holidays. Why would I hesitate wanting Jesus to return? Why would anybody hesitate wanting that? Or hoping that, yes, he comes back, but just maybe not right away? Is it because we get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of Christmas that we forget what we're actually celebrating? Stacia was telling me, can I tell the story? Stacia was telling me that her daughter, the day before Thanksgiving, they were going to one of the sets of parents' houses, so daughter's grandparents, and she says, "Is it Christmas Eve?" And Stacia had to explain, "No, it's the night before Thanksgiving." And what did she say? "I cannot wait another day for Christmas." She doesn't want Jesus to return between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Why would anybody hesitate? I wonder if it's because, this is just me pondering again, I wonder if it's because of the common understanding that when Jesus returns, it's not going to be pretty for everybody. Right? Everybody is going to have to look him in the eyes and give account for what they have done with the days that he has given them. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 24, 42 to 44. He says, "So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming." Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You must also be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Okay, so read this with me from a completely objective, outside the church standpoint. A thief in the night. Does anybody look forward to thieves, to burglars coming in the night? If you do, you're nuts, okay? You're crazy. All right? I'm not a fan of like huge, massive surprises. I don't mind little ones. All right? Like twice in my life, we've surprised family members around Christmas. Once when I was little, we drove from Montana to Oregon and showed up on my grandparents' doorstep and knocked and just started singing Christmas carols. And they loved the surprise. All right? Once when Abby and I were married before the kids were born yet, we drove through the night. I don't do that anymore. But we drove through the night all the way up to Calgary and we surprised Mom and Dad for a Christmas visit. Those are fun surprises because they bring tears of joy and laughter and hugs. Will that be the case when Jesus returns? A few verses earlier, same chapter, Matthew 24, verse 36 to 39. "However," Jesus says, "no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings and Christmas trees and presents and shopping, Black Friday sales, right up to the time Noah entered his boat." There was a couple of additions if you didn't see that. "People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is what it will be like when the Son of Man comes." Okay, so Noah. This is a great story to put up on a felt board because you bring two animals by two animals by two animals. But this is a terrible story. When you really stop to think about it, it's not a comforting story. And Jesus is saying when the Son of Man returns, it's going to be like that. Is that why maybe there's a hesitation to hope for his return? Maybe. Going back to those verses in Revelation 22, verse 7, Jesus said, "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book." Or in 22, verse 12, it says, "Look, I'm coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds." Maybe people only think of these type of passages when they're thinking of Jesus' return. And maybe that's why they don't hope for his return sooner. But there's also another side to Scripture. There's also another story that maybe they don't know, another side of this story that would bring hope, that would cause us to say, "All right, Jesus, it's 10:30. James can be done preaching because you're going to come back this afternoon." Passages like this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21. "So also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him." Huh. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. This is a verse you guys know. "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever.'" I mean, passages like this, we've heard before, but those are the ones that say, yes, this is what makes me say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." It moves our heart a little bit closer to that side of the dial. So maybe that brings to life that passage again back in Isaiah. "Look, the young woman, the virgin, will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. There is hope in God being with us. There should be hope in the joy of Jesus' return. We may not always think about it. We may not always want it. But I tell you what, in this season, for me, I want to be less about looking at shelves and sales and more about looking around for Jesus. More about the sense of hope that's coming up. The kids looked up at Frosty as he left, and he promised to come back again the next Christmas. The disciples looked up and were told that Jesus is coming back. I want to spend more time looking up this season. I want to spend more time having that hope stirred within me. But here's the truth. I don't have all the answers as to how to stir that hope. And I'm hoping that you guys will. So I'm going to invite up Connie Pittman. While she's coming, grab your connection cards, okay? Tear them out, put your name on it, and I'd like for you to write one or two things that you do to help stir the pot of hope of Jesus' return. Especially during a Christmas season, what do you do to help foster hope? Now, if you don't do anything, you don't know of anything, then just put your name on a connection card and write one or two things that you'll remember about this morning's service. And that helps us who are planning know what will stick, where God is moving and working. So I called Connie this past week, and I said, Connie, can you talk with a microphone?